This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, in the car. Did you know that a big portion of people who listen to Joy in the car, just like you? Right now, times are really tough financially, and without your support, Joy may not be around to make your drive around Melbourne fun. So tell your siblings, your workmates, heck, even wind down your window and tell someone else stuck in the traffic to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday 10 till 12.
You are listening to Saturday Magazine with Macca and Tass. Macca, we're about to move on to our next guest.
I've been waiting for this because I want to sneak in another question, Tass.
Well, we were hoping to get Luke in ages ago, actually.
Yes.
So it's great to... Let's introduce our guest.
Yeah, so Luke Beck. Luke is the Associate Professor of Constitutional Law at Monash University. Good morning, Luke. How are you?
Well, we thought we had him on.
He should be there.
He's not. Good morning, Luke.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Cool. Look, we wanted to chat to you about the Religious Freedom Bill, and we've sort of let you know that... If I might be so bold, we had a... Tass and I were talking, you know, saying, this is great, we're going to talk to you. We were wondering, do you have an... before we get on to the Religious Freedom Bill, do you have an opinion on the constitutionality of the sports minister signing off on the grants?
Well, yeah. So the general consensus among constitutional lawyers is that the sports grants program as a whole... is probably unconstitutional. So it's not specifically about Bridget McKenzie signing off. It's the whole thing. Whoever signs off, if it's the minister, if it's Sports Australia, the department, the whole thing is most likely unconstitutional on the basis that there's no law actually authorising this spending. And in fact, the Constitution doesn't give the federal parliament power to pass a law to authorise this spending in the way that they've been doing it. So it's almost certainly unconstitutional. And then there's a separate issue of, even if the program is constitutional, is the way it's been administered with the minister signing off and changing things, is that lawful? So there are two issues. There's constitutionality, and most constitutional lawyers lean towards the view that the whole thing is probably unconstitutional.
So are you saying, saying, Luke, that you actually need to have a specific law to enable the expenditure of funds through a grant program?
Absolutely. The federal government cannot spend a single cent of public money unless there are two things. First, there has to be an appropriation of that money from consolidated revenue passed by Parliament. And then secondly, there has to be a second law authorising the spending of the money that has been appropriated. And in this case, it looks like there is an appropriation, but no law authorising the spending.
Yeah, so that's good. Look, thanks for that.
Isn't that called the budget?
Well, no, the budget is the appropriation.
Yeah.
Right, of course.
But then you need a second law authorising the spending.
Yeah.
And usually there's a standing law authorising the spending for all sorts of different things, like for Medicare or for the defence spending, et cetera, et cetera. But for these ad hoc programs, there appears not to be a law authorising the spending.
Oh, how interesting is that?
Yeah, it is. Look, thanks for that, and thanks for indulging us.
Unlawful and unconstitutional.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, most likely.
Yeah. And dodgy. Thanks, Luke. We wanted to ask that. Now, the Religious Freedom Bill, eventually, I suppose...
Call it what it is, Macca. It's a religious discrimination
bill. When this eventually, if it ever does, make it to a bill that's going to get tabled, do you think it's actually going to get to that stage, Luke, or do you think it's just become too tortured?
So the government's got itself into a real bind here. Both the Prime Minister and the Attorney General, Christian Porter, keep saying they intend to introduce the bill. But it's really difficult to see how that is possible. All the legal experts say this is a complete mess and it's really bad. And all sorts of different community groups are saying this is really bad. You have employers and union groups together agreeing that this is bad for workers and for workplaces. You have all sorts of faith-based organisations like Enly Care, like Vinnie's, like others, saying that this is bad. Even the Anglican Archbishop of Melbourne, who is also the primate of the entire Anglican Church in Australia, has said this is a bad idea. You've got the head of the Uniting Church saying this is a bad idea. And so
you also have half the Liberal Party saying it's a bad idea. You have,
well, indeed.
You have people like Senator Concetta Ferravati-Vells who says, let's scrap it and start again. It doesn't go far enough.
Well, yeah, it's actually, they've dug themselves into an enormous hole, and it doesn't seem that they know how to dig themselves out of it. And I think we need to focus on why it is bad, the things that it lets people do. This is not a normal anti-discrimination bill. Most states already make discriminating against a person on the basis of their religion or lack of religion unlawful. There's limited similar provisions federally. And if we were just to have a stock standard anti-discrimination law protecting against religious discrimination at the federal level, that would be fine. Nobody would have a problem. But this bill does a whole bunch of other things. It actually authorizes discrimination against other people. It authorizes people to make statements of what they're calling statements of belief. So this allows people to make comments directed at other people, including comments that ridicule people, humiliate people, and even intimidate other people. So your boss could come up to you at work and say things that intimidate you, or the shopkeeper could say things that ridicule or intimidate or humiliate you. Your doctor could do that. Your teacher could do that. The childcare worker could do that. And you would not be able to complain. So if your boss said, if you are a woman and your boss said to you at work, women should not be in positions of power, you would not be able to lodge a sex discrimination complaint under any federal, state, or territory law. This overrides existing anti-discrimination protection. And it also allows healthcare professionals to refuse to provide healthcare to people if they have religious objections to that type of healthcare. And the second draft of the bill goes even further. The first draft said that doctors and nurses would be allowed to refuse to provide health care. The second draft of the bill says that doctors and nurses are allowed to refuse to refer people on. So under state law at the moment, in cases of abortion and euthanasia, most states say, okay, if doctors have a religious objection, they can refuse to do it, but they have to refer the patient on to another medical professional who will. This bill overrides that and says, actually, no, they have a right to just not refer them on altogether.
So I'm not going to treat you. And I'm not going to tell you where you can get treated.
I'm not going to help you.
Correct. Yeah. Correct.
So, if I can ask you, why do you think that the government... I mean, we know some of the reason around, you know, this is a fallout from marriage equality and discussions around it. But why do you think the government seems to be hell-bent on introducing legislation that, you know, apart from a very small number of people who think it's a good idea, everyone else, including those who oppose it and those who support this sort of legislation, say this bill is a mess. Why are we going ahead with this? We actually need to start again. So why is the government persisting?
So I think the answer is they stuffed up from the get-go, and I think... I don't know, but I suspect that it's just a level of arrogance and hubris and a lack of willingness to admit that they made a mistake and that they need to start again. They're trying to save face. They can't admit that they made a mistake. They can't admit that they were wrong. And so they're persisting. And I suspect either in the end that this either will get introduced into Parliament or they will quietly drop it at some point. But I think quietly dropping it doesn't look like happening. They could have quietly dropped it during the bushfires, but they chose not to. And they seem to, and every time the Attorney General is quoted in the press, he keeps saying that, you know, they're continuing with the work on this. So I think they've stuffed up and they don't have the courage to actually say, look, we made a mistake, we'll start again, we'll do it properly.
Yeah.
Luke, have they committed to a third edition of this bill?
So originally the Attorney General said there would be a first draft, then there would be consultations, then there would be a second draft, then it would go to Parliament. Now he's saying that there'll be a third draft. And there has to be a third draft because this bill is such a mess. So it overrides existing discrimination laws. It overrides standard workplace rules. It allows medical professionals to refuse treatment and refuse to refer patients on to get treatment elsewhere. And significant parts of the bill are probably, like the sports rights program, actually unconstitutional.
It feels to me like this is one of those damned if you do and damned if you don't scenarios. But I also have this horrible feeling that this is a very neat little distraction strategy. So once things get a little bit hot or don't go government's way,
you just
flame, you fan the flames a bit more and get it going, and it actually distracts us from the real business of government.
Yeah, I mean, this is a very useful and juicy issue if you want to have culture war debates, that's for sure.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
I mean, and let's assume, Luke, that the government somehow manages to get another draft up, mm-hmm. and that even then gets to the parliament. Well, then it's got to run the gauntlet of parliamentary committees.
Like, correct.
So, you know, and I am a betting man occasionally, usually on politics, I wouldn't be putting money on this getting through.
Well, no. So people like Senator Jackie Lambie has said publicly that she hasn't seen any reason why we need legislation like that. And I suspect people like Centre Alliance senators would probably take a similar view. And if we think back to the Ruddock Religious Freedom Review, that review actually found that Australia does not have a problem with religious discrimination. So it's not clear what problem the government is trying to solve with this legislation. Mm. This is, I think, number one, a culture war issue, and number two, pandering to a certain subset of their particular base or the hard right of their own coalition parties, rather than responding to any sort of genuine community issue.
Yeah, I wouldn't put any money on Jackie Lambie. She'll be told there are national security implications and she can't tell anyone. Therefore, she'll vote for it.
Well, we'll wait and see if it actually gets to Parliament. But as you say, when it does get to Parliament, if it gets to Parliament, there will almost certainly be a Senate inquiry. And then you'll have a whole bunch of experts like me and community groups and religious groups, faith groups and religious leaders coming to Parliament and the Parliamentary Committee and saying, the legal experts explaining the technicalities of why this is bad and what this will allow it to do. Mm. And you'll have the community groups and the religious leaders saying, we don't support this. This is bad. This is not good for community harmony. This pits Australian against Australian.
Yeah.
Luke, I think we'll continue to monitor this one because it's been of great interest to our community. We've had many discussions on this. And if you're okay, we'd love to come back to you again at some point in the near future and just track where this is at.
Absolutely.
Great. Good on you. Thank you very much for your time this morning, Luke.
My pleasure.
Saturday Magazine is proudly sponsored by Velocity Rewards, the loyalty program of Virgin Australia.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.